Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Brought to you by Krauser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price mean something to you, it means everything to them. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Redskins last night pulled off a beauty in beating Dallas. They blitzed Tony Romo and actually knocked him out of the game. And Colt McCoy played well enough managing the game, and they won it. Virtually no Wellington and won the game. Very impressive. Thought the play calling was brilliant. No response.
No. What is a back contusion, by the way?
It's a bruise.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought, but that was the official injury to Tony Romo. And the rumor has it that Jerry Jones said while on the sidelines that he told Garrett that Romo would be back. I think it's funny that the owner is the one making the decision. Hey, by the way, just want to let you know he's going to be back. Really?
Well,
right. Thanks, boss.
He probably went into the training room. That's probably why. Doctors and trainers have total and absolute control over injuries.
I understand that, but I think I'd rather hear that from the doctor and or trainer than from the guy who owns the team.
Well, the doctor and trainer are in with Romo.
I mean, I understand he's your franchise quarterback.
Okay, you make too much of these things.
No, I just said it's funny. I mean, it's just. I mean, I'm picturing this happening on the sideline, and it's not hard to picture.
Because it's Jerry Jones. I mean, that's the reason why. The reason is he probably went into the training room, which he's entitled to do. He probably asked. They told him he went out, and he told him he'd probably be back. Gary probably looked at him and said, "What do you know?" It's the same thing as sending the equipment manager in to ask. What's the difference?
I suppose.
That's all. Because the coach can't leave. Go find out, and you can't send the coach to go find out.
It's just everything that involves Jerry Jones sounds strange to me. It's just, I'll tell you one thing though, Steve. You cannot say that he is not actively involved in his football team. It is not a hobby to him.
No, it's not. At the same time, he got up and he made a speech, I think, to the Dallas Chamber of Commerce, and they were talking. He was talking about the team, and he said, "Look," he said, "I get upset like you do about them not winning." He says, "And also mad at myself about things that you people have said that we should be building an offensive line to help him out." He said, "I finally got it." Well, I mean, at least he got up there and he accepted personal responsibility for it, which is, that's interesting that he would do that. But, I mean, I don't read TMZ into everything. What do you think of the play calling? I thought it was pretty good.
I don't see enough of Dallas or Washington games to make a judgment. How's that?
Oh, no, you don't. You just got to watch for like 5 minutes. You can see if it's a good play calling or not.
I'll take your word for it.
It doesn't matter. Play calling, there's so many things, for example, in an NFL game where the quarterback has options at the line of scrimmage where they can check you out of one play into something else. And You have five options off pass routes. You have options to go into a running play based on their lane, things like that. So, you know what? You know, until someone actually knows what the options are and what the calls are at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And offensive coordinators don't usually do press conferences.
That's also true.
So.
I also read a couple of stories the last day or so about how college football's conferences are starting to put PR people together for the college football playoff system. Is that really true, or is that tongue-in-cheek?
What do you mean?
Well,
I don't know what it means.
That they're trying to put a PR system together so that you have teams from your conference selected in the playoff series, or would get a lean, you know, just like it, literally a PR thing.
These guys are going to games and watching games.
I would hope.
Yeah. I would want, well, no, they are. I mean, it's a fact. But, you know, I would want, for example, statistical data and things like that to help me in my decision as to what I'm doing. I mean, that's so, you know, but in terms of, hey, we'll bring a lot of people. The thing's sold out. Nobody cares. We'll bring you great television ratings. It's going to get great television ratings. Don't care.
I just think it's funny that, you know, trying to bring in PR people to promote your conference to get a little bit more looks. It seems strange to me. It kind of defeats the purpose of what the playoff's supposed to do.
Well, except here's the problem. They're, right now, if you look at the projections, three of the top four are going to be Southeastern Conference teams.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And, for example, if I'm sitting in the Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, ACC, you know, here's the issue I have with the Southeastern Conference, and it's very, very simple. Alabama, LSU, and Tennessee are exempt from this conversation because they go out and they play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I give them credit. Alabama's come up here to Penn State. Tennessee's, you know, they played Oregon. They've played Notre Dame in the past. LSU's been playing everybody. They've gone to West Virginia. They played Oregon neutral field, Wisconsin neutral field. I mean, they play people. The other 11 do not. And that's a big problem. Georgia does not venture out of its area to play people. If you're, you know, when's the last time you saw Georgia play Southern Cal? All right. Made a trip into Beaver Stadium. Showed some adventure. Auburn. Yeah, Auburn played Kansas State this year. That's the first meaningful non-conference game that they have played since they played in the kickoff classic in 84 against Miami. Okay. Florida. Where does Florida go? Who do they play? Who does South Carolina go play? Outside of their own cocoon. They are allowed to, based on bowl record, get away with playing a relatively soft non-conference schedule, and they get away with it. Where, for example, other schools, other conferences, you know, some teams lay it out on the line and play somebody else. You can criticize Michigan for having a mediocre season, but they went and played at Notre Dame this year. I mean, they did it. I mean, they lost, got killed, got shut out 31-0. But they still did it. Michigan State went out to Oregon. Michigan State went out to Oregon this year. And exactly who in the SEC went out to play Oregon this year? I mean, that's the issue. Is number one, now the Big Ten plays eight right now, and so does the ACC. The Big Ten won't go to nine until 2016. But the SEC refuses to move off of eight conference games, four non-conference games. And it's not murderer's row in the non-conference. Now, paper, very, very tough. Yeah. No question about that. But the issue that you have if you are the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12, or the ACC is if you have people going out to play other people. I mean, now I realize that the ACC has an agreement with Notre Dame for 5 games every year. That's why Florida State played Notre Dame. That's part of the ACC agreement with Notre Dame to have them in it, in all the other sports except football. They play 5 football games a year against ACC opponents. So that's why the Florida State game happened. But at least Florida State played them. As much as we can criticize Florida State for certain things that have happened with the quarterback and certain things that are now happening with the tailback Williams, in terms of competitive, at least they've gone out and they played, because technically it's a non-conference game. The game with Notre Dame is a non-conference game, even though Notre Dame contractually has to play 5 ACC teams.
But this is what makes those games that you're scheduling now for 2017, 2018 so important.
Right, but you lock them up. You don't lock them up, you're not going to get them.
That's also true.
Basketball's different. Basketball makes their schedules, for the most part, on a year-by-year basis.
Are athletic directors actually, like, right now, when they're putting their football schedules together in, say, for 2017, 2018, whatever, are they actually keeping... can they actually have this in mind as making sure we have a stronger strength of schedule just in case we get into the postseason picture?
Well, of course, how do you do that? Well,
first of all, you
try to schedule an FBS Power 5 conference team. You start there. Penn State in 2008, for example, knew they were going to have an outstanding team. And Penn State was able to make the Penn State was scheduled to play Arkansas State in the second game of the season. Joe knew that that wasn't good enough, that in order to get into the conversation for the national championship, they need to make sure that they had a Power 5 conference team at the front. So they bought out Arkansas State, and then they paid an $800,000 guarantee to Oregon State to come in here and play. Penn State won the game big. Oregon State, by the way, ended up missing the Rose Bowl in a rematch with Penn State by 1 game. Because Oregon State, typical of Mike Riley's teams, they get better as the season goes along. So, these leagues are putting out as much publicity as possible about their... I know it's another CBSSports.com thing. It's the only website you read. But that's the reason they're doing it. They're doing it to let you know, hey, look, don't just focus in on one division. All right, don't focus in on one division. There are other teams on the landscape that need to be considered.
Well, Conference USA has hired a PR firm to help Marshall out.
Yeah, Marshall's going nowhere.
And they need help. They're right. You're right. They need help to get in.
Kevin, they're a 500 team in any other conference.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying they had to do something they felt to give them a little more anything.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. And I don't know how I'm like business insurance if service and price mean something to you means everything to them. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, County Roads 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right. We have Brandon Gowton here, BleedingGreenNation.com. It was one of the top games of the weekend and was billed that way, at least by this show. Going in as maybe the best game of the weekend. I think it played out that way. Arizona and Philadelphia. Playoff preview potentially. Brandon, you watched it, and as it played out, what were your thoughts?
A really good game in terms of, two good teams in the NFC going after it. Back and forth kind of game. No one team really clearly dominating the game. A lot of turnovers, big plays. And, it's one that the Eagles really could have won. They had a number of opportunities, but, they're just three turnovers that really killed them. And they kicked a field goal at the end near the goal line because they couldn't score a touchdown. Their red zone offense is still majorly struggling. And they had the two big plays on defense, including the last one to John Brown, the Cardinals rookie receiver, for what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. You just have those kind of turnovers and big plays, and they came close, but it just wasn't enough.
The Eagles have a very good record. I think they're a fun team to watch, and there's a lot of skill I see. What's missing, though?
I really think, you have to look at the quarterback play right now. I just think, Nick Foles is not playing good enough. He has 12 touchdowns and he has 12 turnovers, and you're not really going to succeed in the NFL if you have a quarterback who has many touchdowns as he does turnovers. He's really just not taking care of the ball, not looking accurate. He's under 60%. I think he's hovering around 59% on the year. So he's not being careful with the ball. I really think that at its essence is really what's holding back this team right now is quarterback play, because, you have these issues in the secondary. You have issues elsewhere, but I think you have a good quarterback. He can cover up those things. I mean, just look at the Packers. They've struggled at times this year, but when Aaron Rodgers is hot, he just fixes everything. And obviously, Nick Foles is no Aaron Rodgers, but really, he just needs to step it up.
You watch every down, so I want to ask this. Foles was ultra careful with the ball last year to the point where he just threw it away, get rid of it, and he only threw two interceptions. Is he trying to force plays, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there are moments where, there's just not something there. Maybe it's double coverage. Maybe it's just an ill-advised pass. I really think you saw that in his first interception. He had Josh Huff in the end zone, but he kind of double clutched the ball. Maybe if he threw it right away, Josh Huff has a chance. But he holds onto the ball too late. He's just trying to make a play at that point instead of looking elsewhere or taking the sack or whatever. And, you know, I just think not only is he forcing it, which is part of an issue, but really, I mean, he's just inaccurate, too. Even when the second interception, he had Riley Cooper open, or at least nearby, and he really just didn't throw it near him. He threw it just, maybe it was a miscommunication, though. Chip Kelly downplayed that, but he totally just threw it to where Cooper wasn't, and really just threw it more to where it was in range of Arizona defensive back Antonio Cromartie. So, you know, you look at this and you can say that he's forcing it, but there's other times he's just not accurate. And other times, you know, he just, it's just, you don't even know what he's doing out there. So really right now, he's kind of just in a funk, and you're really just wondering what's going on with him.
What do you know about Todd Harriman's injury on the offensive line?
Yeah, there was a report today that, you know, Todd Harriman's is dealing with a bicep injury. Did not really go into the extent of the injury. Todd Harriman's did leave the Eagles game late in the game. It was kind of under the radar because it was at the point on their final drive. You know, everyone's focused on the game. They're really not focused on Harriman's leaving. He left for only three plays, came back in. It seems like he's dealing with some issues there. He was at least some kind of participant in practice on Tuesday, though they run a light practice on Tuesday, so it'll be interesting to see how he progresses this week. But if he can't play, then you're probably looking at either Dennis Kelly or Andrew Gardner or even Julian Vandervelde, who they just signed during the bye week, to come in and fill in for him.
Should the Eagles be actively looking in the waning minutes here for a strong safety?
They should absolutely be looking. I mean, you know, Nate Allen has struggled this year. He's really just not a very talented player, and the Eagles really know that, and their actions have shown that, because he was a free agent this offseason, and they let him walk. They let him test the market. He was out there for at least a week or so, and they finally decided, all right, we couldn't find someone better. We're going to bring him back on a really inexpensive one-year deal. I think he's only making $1 million or $2 million, which, you know, is pretty much close to the minimum for a veteran such as himself. They're obviously looking and hoping for a long-term upgrade, but, you know, it's hard with the deadline because, you know, they have these systems in place, and, you know, Chip Kelly really preaches continuity, and they have this whole off-season program that they go through. You know, it's really hard to expect to bring in the safety and get them adjusted to the defensive scheme and everything. But they should be looking, yes. I don't think it's likely. What you're probably looking for, if anything, maybe is some depth, because Allen is dealing with a hamstring injury, or a Wolf might be a little banged up. Maybe you can get a depth player who, you know, just gives you more bodies at the position.
I know the Penn State coaches here, James Franklin, Josh Gattis, who coached Jordan Matthews at Vanderbilt, are extremely high on his ability and what he can do. How impressed are you by Matthews and how he's played with Philadelphia?
As far as rookie expectations go, I think, you know, Matthews is doing well. I think there was a lot of hype around him in the offseason, which he might not be living up to, but that's really not his fault because he's not the one out there, you know, writing columns about himself. So I think he's done well so far. I think he's struggled with drops, which was an issue in college. You know, I think he shows real potential as a guy who can run after the catch. He's fast. He has great size. He had a chance to make the final touchdown catch against Arizona in the final play. The ball was probably thrown a little bit too wide. He couldn't really get down in bounds as the Arizona defender pushed him out when he got his hands on the ball. You know, if he makes that catch, I think everyone's talking about right now how he's had an awesome season, and I think everyone's really happy with him. So I can't say he's been a disappointment this far. I think he's done pretty good as far as rookie expectations go.
Yeah, it's a ball game. He had, 12 catches? I mean, I'm sorry, Macklin had 12 catches for 187. Macklin's been pretty special, hasn't he?
Yeah, Jeremy Macklin, you know, the Eagles, he was a free agent for them, and everyone's wondering, well, are they going to re-sign him? Are they just going to let him walk? Are they going to sign him to a long-term deal? Are they going to sign him to a short-term deal? Well, they tried to sign him to a long-term deal, reportedly, but, you know, they only ended up agreeing to the 1 year. And so far, you know, it looks like a great move for them because Macklin has stayed healthy, and he's been great. I think, you know, he's his projected stats for the year are huge. You know, He's only one of a couple wide receivers averaging over like 16 yards and has 16 touchdowns and has so many catches. The other two are like Antonio Brown and Demaryius Thomas on the Broncos. So, I mean, you know, he's up there with some of the best receivers in the league right now, and I think they're really happy with him. And Macklin was actually voted the Ed Block Courage Award winner by his teammates today, you know, which is an award that honors, you know, some of the most courageous players and what have you. So, I mean, it's clear he has not only the respect of the organization, but his teammates as well.
Brandon Gott, BleedingGreenNation.com, joining us. You've talked about the struggles of Nick Foles. He still threw for 411 and two touchdowns on Sunday. Every once in a while, do you ever hear a whisper about Mark Sanchez?
You know, you do, and I think people kind of just want to see what Sanchez can do, just because even if you like Nick Foles, and, you know, I think you kind of just want to see what Mark Sanchez can do, because I think you want to see Mark Sanchez go through the same struggles that he is if you're a Foles supporter, and think, you know, hey, look, this isn't just Foles. There are bigger issues here. But, you know, it really just doesn't seem realistic for the Eagles to go to Sanchez, because, you know, Foles is eligible for the contract after the season, and they do have to get a read on him. And, you know, Sanchez had a great preseason and everything, but I just don't think, you know, Chip Kelly trusts him as much right now as he does Foles. And you know, I think Chip is going to play the guy who gives him the best chance to win. I just think right now that guy is Foles. But, you know, you do wonder at a certain point if Foles keeps turning over the ball and if they're losing, that's the other thing, then, you know, I'm sure Sanchez isn't that far behind.
Yeah, trust is that big word. Houston Texans coming up this week, Bill O'Brien's team. Give me a quick preview as to how you view that going in, Brandon.
It'll be interesting. You have this Texans team. They're 4-4. They got off to a hotter start. I think they're only 1-3 in their last four games, and that win was this past week over a really unimpressive Titans team. They don't really scare you from an offensive standpoint. Obviously, they have Arian Foster, the great running back, but the Eagles have pretty shown that they can handle running backs fairly well, good run defense. And then, you know, the Eagles' biggest concern is obviously their pass defense, and you feel like they match up well against a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, you know, journeyman starter, doesn't really scare you by any means. He's really not a playoff quarterback by any means. And the same can't be said for their defense, however, because they have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on that defensive line, and the Eagles have a banged-up offensive line, as we know, you know, especially on the interior, and those are guys that can line up, you know, not only on the edge, but they also line them up in the middle. They line them up everywhere, and those guys are really going to be a big test against this Eagles offensive line.
Always a pleasure, Brandon. Great to hear you. Thanks so much for your insight.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is now out on the road in another Sunbury Motors vehicle.
Yeah, this week, we're featuring the brand new 2013 Hyundai Azera. And yes, I did say brand new 2013, and it is a 2013 that has never been titled, so you can be the first owner of what is one of the quietest vehicles both inside and out that I have ever been a part of driving or even listening to. This thing sounds like a hybrid when you stop at a traffic light. That happened this morning. I had to actually look down to make sure the tach was moving, because I wasn't quite sure the engine was still running. I thought maybe I hit the stop button on it somewhere along the line. But it has a fantastically sound interior. that just keeps all the road noise out, which helps out a lot when you use that Dimension sound system that's in it in the subwoofer, and you just crank up your favorite radio station in HD. I enjoyed that on the last couple of days, just for the sound system part of it alone. And right now, Sunbury Motor Company with a $5,863 discount, $5,800 off the sticker right now at Sunbury Motors, the Hyundai dealership with Skip and the boys, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Check it out online at Kevin Herr on Facebook, or at Kevin Herr on Twitter, and my Facebook page as well if you'd like to see the 2013 Hyundai Azera.
All right, just a quick note. A lot of people, of course, have been probably wondering about Ryan Kaiser. Ryan Kaiser did suffer a fracture in a rib in practice on Thursday. Saw it happen. Very, very painful. He did undergo surgery for a small bowel injury that he sustained, but overall he is improving, and he is at the Hershey Medical Center. And the other part is there have been a lot of stories floating about him having an infection. That is not true.
Very
How about
news.
That?
Fair Very enough? Good news.
Okay. Fair enough.
Absolutely. And understandably, a lot of folks in the Susquehanna Valley concerned, very proud of what he's been able to do as a walk-on, and then ended up with a scholarship. And, of course, big plays left and right in the last couple of years as well. So it's sad to see an injury like that take the rest of his season away, but a lot to be proud of with that young man.
Well, I can't say enough good things about him. I can tell you that. He is one of the genuinely nicest individuals I've ever met in my life, who's also an outstanding athlete. He's the quarterback of that secondary, and, of course, as a holder, he's been outstanding. Chris Gould is going to continue in that spot. They're also going to work Adam Geiger as a backup, because they have to work. And Adam held in the Indiana game last year. And so it's not like Sam hasn't worked with him before. But Ryan wants to be a phys ed teacher. I had talked to him at quarterback club on Wednesday about being a phys ed teacher. He's going to do an internship in the spring. Like anybody has pro aspirations. I think if he wanted to go into coaching, he would be an absolutely outstanding coach. It'd take some time and seasoning like anybody else in any business. But I think he has all the tools that if he wanted to coach down the road in his lifetime, he would be an outstanding coach. He'd be the kind of coach that a lot of parents would love to have their son or daughter play for, if depending on the sport you wanted to go into. And if you wanted to go into football, he'd be great. His instincts are exemplary and has a real feel for it. But he's just also one of the genuinely nicest individuals you'd ever want to meet. And my respect for him is high. And, I knew Sunday it happened. I knew what happened on Sunday. And, you felt awful that he has to go through that. But as they have pointed out, that, yes, he did break a rib. Yes, he did have surgery. No, there isn't no on the infection. He's at Hershey. He's recovering. And our hope is day by day he gets stronger. Zach Zwinak is also out for the year. So it'll be Bill Belt and Akeel Lynch. The third running back would be Cole Cipriani. I know some people wonder, which one of the freshmen? No, none of the freshmen are going to play. You don't, with five games to go, put Mark Allen or Nick Scott or Jonathan Thomas in there. They're not going to do it. The number three running back is Chip. Chip Cipriani will be the third running back for Penn State. And Belton and Lynch will be 1A and 1B. And let's see, anything else? Donovan Smith will be a wait and see. We'll see how that goes this week.
One thing I was going to add about Ryan Kaiser in high school, playing for Selins Grove, averaged 18 yards a catch through his career. And his last year averaged 19 yards a catch and went over 1,000 yards receiving. And that was, of course, a very successful year, to say the least, for Selins Grove.
No, sure. No, absolutely. No, it's He's one of those individuals you cannot say enough things about. Can't say enough good things about him. But again, did he fracture a rib in practice Thursday? Yes. Okay. Okay. Did he have to have surgery for a small bowel injury? Yes. Is he improving? Yes. Is there an infection? No. And he's at the Hershey Medical Center. Okay. All right. Next hour of the show coming up. I know Spencer Myers of Sealands Grove obviously plays for Maryland. We're supposed to talk to his father briefly tomorrow on the show, which we'll do. I'm sure it's a big moment for them to have him come into Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, he was a talented wrestler as well as a football player for Sealands Grove, but trying to pull a double is not easy in college.
No, it is not. Well, some guys over the years have done it, I mean, to their credit.
But the type also, of double also, he pulls is really tough with being back-to-back seasons like that.
Yeah. Well, no, but guys I've seen have wrestled and done well in wrestling over the years. Especially, usually wrestle heavyweight.